Join Walking Baseball Encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors past and present, featuring exciting guest interviews, routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts, and insightful analysis of the day's biggest stories. Locked On MLB is the single best source for daily baseball talk. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts.
You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, follow us wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. On today's show, got a crossover special with the host of Locked On Rockies, Paul Holden. So you will have that as the second and third segments of today's show. But in the first segment, I want to talk about my night today as I went out to see Noah Syndergaard pitch in his rehab start and then watched him exit in the first inning. So I'll go over what I saw out of Syndergaard, and also the Mets have made a trade to acquire outfielder Billy McKinney. So I'll go over that deal as well in the first segment. Before we get to any of that though, I'm your host Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMorizeOnline.com. So starting off with Noah Syndergaard, I do talk about this a bit in the crossover portion of this episode as well, but I went out to Port St. Lucie because Syndergaard was starting and was expecting to watch more than one inning, and that was all we got. Noah looked good early on, looked good in his bullpen. He was throwing hard. His first pitch came in at 95. I'm thinking, all right, maybe we're going to get Noah back sooner than expected. Then as his inning is progressing, things just kind of started to slow down a bit. The velocity, obviously, is what people came away talking about, and obviously that was what drew some attention on social media with the things I was mentioning as well, because by the end of the outing, he's throwing fastballs that are coming in the high 80s, low 90s, and it's tough to tell. Don't get me wrong. When you're sitting as close as I was and you're trying to read what pitch came in, it's really hard to know exactly what's a slider, what's a curveball, what's a changeup, what's a fastball. But I'll tell you, whatever he was throwing in those final couple at-bats there, there wasn't a lot of movement. It seemed like fastballs the way they came in, and he's hitting the gun in the high 80s. So that was clearly a concern. This is someone making his second start or rehab start, coming off the Tommy John. These things happen. It's never just smooth sailing, or rarely at least, is it smooth sailing through rehab and these guys just get right back out there. There's a reason why, you know, this rehab assignment was going to take Noah Syndergaard some time, but it was clearly concerning when he exits that first inning and you immediately see somebody get up in the bullpen. And, you know, there was no real telltale signs of him acting injured on the mound or in the dugout or seeming frustrated. It seemed precautionary. It seemed like it was just soreness, but you just don't know when it comes to an elbow injury for a pitcher. And this is definitely something when you look at what's going on with the team this year where you almost think even more so in a pessimistic, in a state of mind with these types of injuries, because the Mets just haven't had good fortune. And so I'm just not going to count on Noah Syndergaard to be back in the Mets rotation until the All-Star break. And that was always kind of the timeline I was anticipating. If you get him back before, it's awesome. But to me, what is most important this year, especially with the way the Mets are pitching anyway, is to make sure that when he comes back, he is 100% healthy and can contribute if you are fortunate enough to make the playoffs. So right now, I got to imagine they're going to slow things down a bit. Not sure when his next rehab start will be. They'll probably go back to the basics, make sure he can play catch without getting hurt, or without feeling any pain, get back into the bullpen, eventually throwing off a slope, and then he'll get back on the mound. That's just my two cents. But from watching it live, there was clearly a diminishing level of stuff from his first pitch to his last pitch. His first fastball, 95, last one, 92. Did get a strikeout on that last pitch. But other than that, you know, he worked an inning, gave up an error, which I kind of thought was a little nice bit of home scorekeeping for the St. Lucie, whoever was keeping the book up there. It kind of seemed to me like it should have been an infield hit, a hard hit ball that the third baseman couldn't make a play on. And then he walked a batter. So, and he also gave up a fly ball out that, you know, was just kind of a routine fly ball. Nothing else to that. So that was my experience covering the Noah Syndergaard rehab start. We'll see where the Mets go from there with him. Also of notes, and then I'll talk about this on the crossover, J.D. Davis once again has had his rehab assignment curtailed, this time due to that hand injury. He's going to go back to New York, or is back in New York getting treatment. Hopefully he can get back out there for the rehab assignment again. But now, who knows when he comes back. And with that, the Mets have now added a guy who can play some outfield, can play some first base in Billy McKinney. They made a trade with the Brewers to acquire McKinney. And this is a player that was a former first-round pick, has some pop in his bat, career 422 slugging percentage. It's pretty solid, but the getting on base part, a little bit harder for McKinney. 207 batting average this year, 260 on base. He's slugging at a 359 clip this season for a 619 OPS. His OPS plus is 68, so not a great start to the season for McKinney. For his career, he is a 226 hitter, 285 on base, 422 slugging percentage, 706 OPS. His OPS plus is 89, so he's been slightly below average throughout his career. Spent some time with the Yankees, then spent three seasons from 2018 through 2020 with the Blue Jays. And then this past year with the Brewers, he was DFA'd when they made that trade with the Rays to acquire Willy Adames. And so that's how he was available for the Mets. They made a trade to get him. They gave up an arm in Pedro Quintana to get him. Quintana, not much of a prospect. I mean, he was an undrafted international free agent that the Mets signed on January 15th and assigned him to the DSL. Mets 1-17, like I said, I mean, that's nothing. That's just, hey, here's a lottery ticket. Maybe it works out for you. But the Mets needed a body. They get one without having to give up some big prospect. This was, in McKinney, a former top 100 prospect, a former first-round pick who has some talent, hasn't quite put it together at the major league level. Worth a shot. And that's where the Mets are. They're just trying to take as many chances as they can to find someone that can come through. Brandon Drury is a guy that's getting playing time right now that is kind of that same ilk as Billy McKinney, a guy who hasn't really had a successful major league career but had a lot of promise at one point, and you're trying to, you know, catch lightning in a bottle. Maybe it works for McKinney, and we'll see what happens. We'll see if the Mets make another move, if they make a more significant trade. This one gets you another guy that you can put out there and play in left field, right field, maybe some first base if the Mets need to. To make the move work on the 40-man roster, the Mets put Jordan Yamamoto on the 60-day IL. He just went on the injured list the other day with shoulder soreness. This is kind of a business of baseball type transaction where he has to get stashed away for a bit to make room for the new acquisition. Wasn't throwing well anyway, came off a really bad start. Now he'll get some time to, I guess, heal up, and maybe he can make an impact for the Mets later on this season. But in a minute, going to have that crossover special with the host of Locked On Rockies, Paul Holden. Investing can be complicated, but whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy. They can create a portfolio of globally diversified low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. No more manual trades, no more picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences you control. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonmlb. All you need is $500 to get started. You can grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do the work for you. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonmlb. That's W-E-A-L-T-H-F-R-O-N-T FRONT.com/LockedOnMLB to start growing your savings today. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. With so many different flavors to choose from, you can get the caramel brownie bar, get my personal favorite cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and the apple almond crisp, just to name a few. These really are protein bars that taste like candy bars. They come covered in 100% chocolate, they're soft, they're easy to chew, and they're healthy. Built Bars come low in calorie, low in sugar, and they are high in protein and high in fiber. If you want to try Built Bar today, go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
Rock on, Rockies fans. Welcome into another crossover here on Locked On Rockies. We're talking about the current series going on between the Rockies and the Mets with Locked On Mets and Ryan Finkelstein. Ryan, thank you so much for your time.
I'm glad we're doing this after a Mets win, I got to say, you know.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I was hoping we were going to get it in after the Rockies win last night, but, you know, it was better this way, I think, because before we dive into it, you got to go and watch a little bit of some rehab work from yet another big name that hopefully will be coming back to the Mets soon. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so, you know, I actually, Mets fans know, I live in South Florida, so a little bit easier for me to go to Port St. Lucie than a Citi Field. And Noah Syndergaard had his rehab start, was going out there to watch what I thought was going to be 4 or 5 innings. and it was 1 inning.
There you
go.
So
I go there, Syndergaard first pitch 95. The velocity slowly goes down. Some minor league, you know, low A hitters are getting some hard contact on him, a little bit surprising. I mean, he got out of the inning without giving up a run, but then you see some action in the bullpen, and I was like, I might leave this game after the second inning. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. once I knew Syndergaard was out, I basically you know, I waited for Shervin Newton to get his second at bat, watched him get out, and then I got out of there. But hopefully right now it seems like Syndergaard just dealing with some discomfort, not that big of a deal for guys coming back from Tommy John. You hope, right?
Right.
So for now, we'll see. We'll see.
And, you know, one of the things that you had to be home tonight because it was the return of Jacob DeGrom, must watch every single time he's on the bump. What did you like from DeGrom tonight?
I like that he looked the same way he's looked all year. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you didn't tell any difference from coming back off the injury. He was still throwing upper 90s, hitting 100, still got a hit. I don't think his hit streak is still alive. I think there was one game where he got out, but he's gotten a hit in almost every start this year. So it was just typical DeGrom, and that's all you wanted to see as a Mets fan.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, on the flip side, it is an exciting night for Rockies fans as well with the return of Kyle Freeland. You know, Rockies fans always excited about the Colorado kid coming back. And, you know, really, really good to see him. The command wasn't quite there with the walks that we were a little worried about. But, you know, we were excited to have him back. And it was really cool, I think, for Kyle to be able to go up against someone like DeGrom in his first matchup back. So,
I gotta say, I'm sure Kyle Freeland, when he was looking over the lineup card, excited to go against DeGrom, but even more excited that Brandon Drury was batting third.
That's what I was gonna ask you. I mean, the Mets being where they're at, obviously the season starts off delayed with all of the stuff and then injury after injury after injury. Do you think the Mets are at least being successful and kind of keeping their heads above water right now while dealing with all of this stuff?
I mean, It's been one of the worst offenses in baseball, even before the injuries. So this just kind of makes things worse. It seemed like they were starting to turn a corner in May. They had fired their hitting coaches, brought some new guys in, and then everyone goes down. So they've done what they can. The bullpen's been awesome. The pitching's been awesome.
Right.
And when you have a game like tonight where you get a 3-1 lead, I mean, it's always important to close those out. But for a team like the Mets right now, it's vital to grab every single one of these games because you're just buying time until those guys come back.
What do the Mets look like at full strength? Do you think that the team will be drastically better? I think that's kind of maybe an obvious question, but what do the Mets look like at full strength?
Well, Cameron Maybin, I think, has started the last 5 games and has yet to record a hit. So when you have guys like that in your lineup, it's obviously going to help just getting another actual major leaguer up that can take that spot. I mean, Maybin obviously has had a pretty good career, but
you know, I think it's past time for him to be in a starting lineup every day. So obviously that's going to be huge to get Jeff McNeil, Michael Conforto, you know, all these guys back, Pete Alonso, but even getting Kevin Pillar back or Albert Amora, it's going to be a huge boost. Cause right now, like I said, Maben's getting a lot of playing time. Khalil Lee is a prospect that needs a lot more seasoning in AAA. So you just want to get some competent guys up there. And the Mets right now are scouring the market, trying to find any team willing to trade with them and not fleece them on prospects, but get them some major league bats in their lineup. I mean, I think it, when you look at James McCann starting at first base, that kind of tells you all you need to know about the Mets right now.
Yeah. And, but you know, McCann's kind of held his own over there, at least against the Rockies so far, with a big play last night there, a great diving stop with some solid defense. But yeah, I think the Mets are going to only go up from here. And I think in addition to that is Francisco Lindor is going to be better. Like you know, I'm not coming from the New York side. I got to say, I feel like the boos are a little early, but you kind of understand that with the contract. Where's your head at with Lindor?
It's funny because anytime I talk to somebody else from the network, they always bring up like, why is your fan base booing Lindor? And I understand I wouldn't be booing him, but it's Mets fans. They're emotional. It's one of those things right now where I think the pressure just keeps on mounting for him. And I don't know what stops that, because right now, not only are you in a slump, you're looking at a lineup and you're like, man, I really got to produce. And it just hasn't come together for him. I think he's still close to top 10 in the league in walks. So it's not like he's lost his plate discipline, but he's just been very passive this year. And so you want to see him start to attack some pitches in the zone that he gets. But then again, the other problem too, is if you're pitching against the Mets right now, are you really going to give him anything to hit when he's got Brandon Drury as his protection right now? So that only makes matters worse.
Yeah, and it's only a matter of time once you start building up that lineup that you're not going to be able to pitch around, and you're going to have to throw Lindor something he can hit, and you're going to trust his defense no matter what as well. So I think that one's going to pan out there, and would have been interesting to see if – do you think that with Lindor, do you think the Mets were ever in on talking to the Rockies about doing a Trevor Story before they were going into something like the Lindor contract?
I actually think that the Nolan Arenado thing was really interesting. I that was a trade that I would like to see the Mets get in on that. I shouldn't bring that up to you. I'm sorry.
So you have to. I mean, it's really the big thing.
I saw just the pain wash over your face when I mentioned his name. So I mean, just especially looking at the deal that they ultimately made, I just feel like the Mets having the financial capability to take on the contract, that would have been the guy that I would have seen them go in on. I would have loved it if they made two monster blockbuster trades this offseason. But at the end of the day, Francisco Lindor is someone who I thought would really thrive in New York, and I still think he can. So I'm not panicking on the Lindor trade just yet.
And I think it's far too early to do that. It's May of his first year here with the team. I think it's a big struggle. And I think especially after last year, with everything being so weird in baseball and everything changing so much for him, I think it's just going to take a little bit of time. But the clock is starting to tick with June right around the corner next week.
We will have more of my conversation with Paul Holden in just a minute. But I want to tell you about BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. If you want to bet on the NBA playoffs like I did tonight, taking the Los Angeles Lakers over the Phoenix Suns, you can do that. You can bet on the NHL playoffs. You can bet on Major League Baseball. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV with real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with our promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
So do the Mets need to just wait until they stay healthy? Do you think they need to make any moves to grow, to be a little bit more competitive down the stretch? Is it just waiting for that offense to come back, or are you still hoping that even when people come back, they're looking to make some deals?
You know, it's one of those things right now. J.D. Davis is supposed to be the next Met back, and he got scratched again from his rehab assignment to get more work on his hand. So you're waiting for some of these guys that are supposed to be right around the corner, and then they're not. With that said, if you can get somebody that has some versatility that can play a little bit, maybe it's just the corners and play in the outfield, at third base, whatever it is, the Mets have to be open to any and everything right now. And I would even just take a flyer on as many guys as you can. Cameron Maybin's not working out. Sign D. Gordon. Just bring guys in, see what happens, and, you know, try to just catch some lightning in a bottle. And again, just like I said, buy some time.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very interesting. Injuries just are so interesting because it completely throws a wrench in every single plan that there was. Because obviously, the offseason, you see the Mets and you're like, whoa, here we go. Like, this is, you know, the Mets are screaming right now and doing some crazy stuff. We'll see how it goes. But let's dial it back a little bit more. Series split so far, 1-1 between the Rockies and the Mets. What have you liked from the Mets, at least in this capacity against the Rockies? And what are you hoping for throughout the next two games?
I like that they won a game. They were on a little bit.
I think maybe that's a detriment to the Rockies too. Because we,
you know, I mean, we'll see what happens for the rest of this series. I'm not even quite sure what the pitching matchups are. I think it's probably Stroman and Lucchese going for the Mets. You guys still have what? It's Marquez.
Yeah, it'll be Herman probably tomorrow, I would imagine, with Freeland on the bump today.
And I think it was Senzatella.
Yeah, it'll be Senzatella next after that. Yes, because John Gray is third in the rotation. So, yeah, it'll be Herman and Senzatella left for the last two games.
And both of those guys, if memory serves, had gems against the Mets the last time these two teams met up. So now they're facing an even worse lineup. I don't love the Mets' chances to win this series, if I'm going to be completely honest and not be a homer. Mm-hmm. But if they can walk out of this with a split and they can, by some miracle, beat the Braves over the weekend, that'd be a great week of Mets baseball. Mm-hmm. So I'd say that's what I'm hoping for. And hey, it's probably easier to beat the Rockies, completely being honest here, than the Braves. So as many as you can get from Colorado, that's what you're looking for.
And, you know, the Rockies have to take a similar mindset with there. You have to take advantage of playing a good team, not at their best. We tried doing that against the Padres and got crushed. I mean, it just shows you that the level of baseball between teams when your starters are not able to compete with teams, B teams, it just shows you how far you need to go. But the Rockies got to take advantage of this decimated Mets lineup and get some wins if they want to try to improve any of their road woes, because they're still sitting at a mighty 3 road wins this year after last night's game. So the Rockies still haven't quite figured out how to hit on the road, but you can't sit there and say that after when the Rockies have to go up against DeGrom, who looked really, really great. I mean, it's just when you're watching pitchers on just that masterclass level, I think it's something special. And, you know, maybe a little more boring, so to speak. But even though he's going up against my team, it was always great to watch.
I do want to ask you, to me, it seems like there is some young talent to be excited about, mainly the guys hitting home runs against the Mets. McMahon, what have you seen out of him this year? Is he someone that's going to have a long future with the Rockies?
I've been saying this, if you're going to build around anyone that's left on the Rockies roster, that's the guy to do it. We've seen him and his abilities. He can play all over the infield. Probably I would like to see him at third base more consistently going forward. Made a great barehand, a couple of great barehanded plays, yeah. One for an out. The second one was a great play, but wasn't in time. I mean, so I think if you're going to keep anyone around from this Rockies staff, he's the guy you build off. I think you can see that he's made progress every year. He's still aggressive at the plate, still strikes out, but not nearly as bad. And we love that defense. So he's got to be the guy that you keep around. Trevor Story is not going to be on this team past the trade deadline. Hopefully, not hopefully in a good way, but you do kind of have to be realistic if you're a Rockies fan. Trevor Story, odds are, is not going to re-sign with the Rockies after this year, unless there's some conversations behind the scenes we don't know about. I mean, it is interesting for the future of the Rockies and the Rockies players is where the GM position ends up, you know, with it being helmed by an interim GM. But that's just part of the frustrating thing, too, is because you can't tell the direction, because the GM that just traded your Hall of Fame third baseman for you know, really nothing. I guess I shouldn't say nothing. Austin Gomber did pitch very well in game one against the Mets. So, and he's looked all right, but like you were mentioning earlier, what you're expecting from a Nolan Arenado trade is a lot more. So who knows what the Rockies will do, but I would say keep your eye on Ryan McMahon, and we'll keep our eyes on Brendan Rodgers as well, because he's the top prospect finally coming to that major league level to see where we're at. And I'm really hoping that Raimel Tapia can have some success. I love him as a player and really would love to see him sneak into the All-Star game. But Ryan McMahon, I think, is playing at an All-Star caliber level right now.
Now, the one last guy I wanted to ask you about is someone who I've had a couple Mets fans ask me what's his status going to be next year, and that's Charlie Blackmon, which, by the way, I do have to say, has to have the best walk-up music in baseball now, right? It's because of the fans. It's at Coors Field. It's the way that you all chime in. But he's kind of the last vestige of a bygone era. Are they just going to keep him around for the fans, or is he a piece that gets sold at the deadline too?
I just don't think you get anything really for Charlie Blackmon right now. Unless you're finding an AL team that wants a DH, Charlie Blackmon is not a good defensive player anymore. He's not very fast. His defense abilities are not very good, but he still swings a pretty good bat. And obviously he's a big fan favorite, and you can kind of stick him in right field and Coors Field and it'd be somewhat all right until they hit a screamer off the wall. I think Charlie Blackmon will finish his career in Colorado. I don't think he's going to go anywhere. I think he would benefit really, especially I'm in the camp of let's get the DH going. And if that was just something that comes, then I think he would definitely fill that role. But I just don't know what you'd really get for a Charlie Blackmon. I don't know what team would really want to take on that defensive liability if they're not putting him in a DH role. And just with his age and because I think he's got a pretty good chunk of money he's making from the Rockies too under contract, I just don't think you get much for him. So let him finish his time in Colorado and let him keep breaking some Rockies records, and wouldn't be surprised if he could be one of those people that's when the last person to wear that number. He's pretty well regarded in Colorado, and I think if you're going to move on from Story and some of these pitching pieces, let Charlie just can be the face for the last couple of years and let these new guys come up and let him finish his career there in Coors.
And how quiet would those games be at Coors Field if you didn't have your love four times a game when he
exactly
steps up?
Yeah, the coolest. Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, they every time it's bobblehead night, there's always a special edition, like Chuck Nasty one with the mullet flying and the big beard. So keep one of the fan favorites there for the lukewarm Rockies fans, that they have someone that they can go to the ballpark and join in. And I think Charlie would much rather finish his career in Colorado versus being traded to the Angels or something to just DH and do that. The Charlie Blackmon era is going to end relatively soon. Anyway, we are going to get ready to wrap things up here. Rockies Mets still facing off for another two games here. We shall see if the Rockies are able to take advantage of this injury depleted Mets lineup, or if the Mets B team is better than the Rockies A team, which is not all that hard all the time. But we've seen some pretty.
It might be the Mets C team.
C team, probably, if I'm being fair. Man, so hard to see. I can't remember the name of the player, but the center fielder going down, tracking down that fly ball. And you just saw the look on all the Mets faces where it was just like, man, we are not catching any form of breaks.
Yeah.
Ryan, thank you so much. Be sure, if you want to stay up to date with all things Mets, Locked On Mets all season long, Ryan will be your guide through the Mets. I'm Paul Holden. I'll be your guide for everything Rockies. But Ryan, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, man, it was fun.
That's going to be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets. There you will see pinned to the top of the page a giveaway for a signed photo of Edwin Diaz. So make sure you enter for a chance to win. All you have to do is follow the page and also retweet the giveaway post. And if you want to get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes, check out the Locked On Today podcast. Hosted by Peter Bukowski, Locked On Today updates you on the latest news and every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.